Welcome to another episode of Inside U Miami Medicine. My name is Amar Deshpande, and I'm an Associate Dean for Medical Education here at the University of Miami, along as being a gastroenterologist here. And I'll be guest hosting this episode of Inside U Miami Medicine. I'm here today with Josh Kronenfeld and Sarah Sukar, and we have a really exciting episode. This is the first time that we're going to be highlighting some of our learners, students and residents, and in this case, former students who are now residents and chief residents. And so we're really excited to have a discussion with Sarah and Josh today. So welcome.
Thank you.
So before we dive in, I'd love for you to share some of your background and your journey into medicine thus far. So Sarah, let's start with you. Going to the University of Florida for college aside, which will
go Gators.
Don't ever say that. which we'll let go for the purpose of this conversation. Tell us a little bit about your journey, how you got here, particularly here at the Miller School of Medicine for medical school from the beginning.
Sure. I feel very fortunate that I was able to come to University of Miami for medical school. My family's actually in Broward, not too far from here. So that's where I grew up, and I had all of my family still there. I did venture to a far place in Gainesville for college, but when it came time for medical school, I really was hoping and dreaming that I could come somewhere closer to home. And when the University of Miami not only offered me admission, but also a scholarship, it was a dream come true. I was so grateful, and it was a no-brainer. It was absolutely, I was coming, and it was the best decision.
Well, we're lucky to have you. And so then from there, you stayed here
for
residency, and we'll talk a little more about residency. and for the folks that don't really know what it is to be a chief resident, particularly in some of the fields like internal medicine and pediatrics, you're a chief resident in pediatrics now,
yes.
Which means you've completed residency already, right? So
yes.
Tell us a little bit about how you become a chief resident.
Sure. So I did just finish my residency in pediatrics, like you said.
And where did you do that?
Here at Jackson Memorial. I couples matched, actually, with another UM medical student. We both actually just finished residency, and then in pediatrics, like one of our primary care specialties, you stay on to do an extra year after your graduation. So that's my chief year right now.
I'm technically a faculty member.
Some would say, but I'm chief and proud right now. It's been really awesome so far.
And you mentioned you had a scholarship. So what did that kind of mean to you in helping you
get
through medical school?
I remember the day so distinctly. I remember calling my mom, who you actually have met before. I remember calling her at work. It was right after Mother's Day. And I told her, Mom, you're not going to believe this. Not only are they offering me admission, but they're offering me a scholarship to go. I don't think I've ever heard my mom cry like that. And I started crying. It was just such a unbelievable. I remember for weeks feeling like I was in a dream, like it was not real at all.
Until the first semester started.
I was like, all right, it's real now. But it was amazing. I mean, pediatrics has always been so dear to my heart. And as both of you can attest to, not necessarily the highest compensated in the future. So when you're dealing with the exorbitant medical school loans that a lot of people have to take out, I'm still so grateful to this day that I was afforded that opportunity and pursuing my passion without a hesitation.
And you were the first physician in your family, correct?
I am.
So tell us how that felt and any advice you can give to other people who might be trying to venture into medicine without any of the family experience.
Yeah, it was a little bizarre, I guess, just even to this day, trying to explain, no, Mom, I'm not on call. In the hospital, I'm on call at home. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things that you, without anyone in medicine in your family, that become normal to you, but is very abnormal to other people. So sometimes it keeps you grounded, which is good. It was challenging in the sense that, at UF, I was pre-med. I didn't have anyone to kind of ask questions, or it was a lot of just the counseling that I received. But thankfully, once I started medical school, I feel that the counseling really kicked in, and I feel that I was very supported here, not only through the school, but also in the docs program where we met. I think it gave me a lot of guidance and a lot of just a support network that I, obviously my family couldn't necessarily relate to.
Awesome. Awesome. So Josh, you've also had a very interesting road here, a few years longer than
yes.
Sarah's to date. and now a senior resident and a chief resident, but it means a little bit different in surgery, right? Because yep. You're still part of the residency program. You were kind of on a path to medical school pretty early on, right? Even from before college.
Yes,
Why don't you tell us a little bit about your kind of high school experience and what drew you to UM for college and medical school?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, in high school, I went to a medically based high school in New Jersey, where we focused on, you know, some of the medical sciences. I had some opportunities to shadow and go into hospitals, and I volunteered on the local first aid squad. And so I was very interested in medicine, you know, from a young age. I interviewed at the University of Miami. They actually had a 7-year BSMD program, and I was fortunate enough to get in. And so I came here back in 2010 is when I started my journey at the University of Miami. Went to undergrad here, continued through the medical school. I've just been here ever since. I really love it here. I love it here at the university. I love it here, you know, at Jackson, University of Miami Hospital. And it's been a really great experience.
And so, not everyone's completely kind of familiar with the whole medical school to residency thing. You're in residency, which in surgery is largely 5 years of clinical training, but you're in your 7th year now. So why don't you tell us what that, I don't think it was because you got held back 2 years, right? So why don't you tell us about kind of the research aspect of this and what made you interested in that?
Sure. So it's a 5-year journey for some, and for others, it's a 7-year journey. But the way that surgery works is there are several of us that will take 2 additional years during the course of the residency to do additional research. And so I did 2 years of clinical, then I did 2 years of research, and then now I'm finishing my last 3 years of back in clinical, so a total of 5 clinical years. For people that are not totally sure what they want to do or are sort of focused on a field that maybe requires a little bit more research, a little bit more more knowledge, we take an additional 2 years. So I took 2 years to do clinical outcomes and surgical oncology research and healthcare disparities research. At that time, I really thought that I wanted to pursue surgical oncology. And, you know, even though my kind of focus has shifted and now I'm going to pursue trauma surgery, I think it was very valuable for me to take those 2 additional years to be here at Sylvester and with the Miller School of Medicine doing some of the research that I was able to do.
So we'll talk a little bit more about that healthcare disparities and maybe some of the things that you saw in medical school that helped lead you to that. What would you say to someone who's thinking about research? Of course, you know, we've all interviewed students applying to medical school and residency and fellowship, and everyone says, you know, it's the right thing to say that you really want to do research. But you obviously put your money where your mouth was and spent 2 extra years doing research. As you reflect back on that, what did it kind of help you? Did it make you think it made you a better physician, a better clinician, a better future physician scientist? You know, what did it do for you? And for those students who are unsure if they want to pursue a research path moving forward, what kind of advice would you give them reflecting back?
Definitely. So I think a lot of people are, you know, a little bit reticent to maybe do some research as they, you know, they're not totally sure if they want to pursue dermatology or neurosurgery. And they're worried that if they do, you know, research in a field that they're not pursuing, maybe it's not going to be, you know, quote unquote, worthwhile. And I would say I disagree, you know, because I did research for 2 years in surgical oncology, and that's not going to be the field that I'm going to pursue. But I do agree with you. I think it helped me have a different perspective. Now you read research articles in your field, you kind of understand them a little bit more because you understand how the research process was done. So I think it's valuable. I think if you're interested in something, even if you might change your mind or even if you may go somewhere different, I think just the process of understanding how to do research is going to be very valuable for the medical field.
And so for both of you, you're 2 of our very proud graduates from several years ago, and we were thrilled that you both decided to stay local for your residencies, which are housed at Jackson, but of course, a close collaboration between University of Miami and Jackson. So maybe for both of you, we can start with Sarah. Tell us a little bit about what made you want to stay at our kind of our home program for your pediatrics and surgical residencies, respectively.
Yeah, I think it's a huge decision. I think it's one that no one takes lightly. And like everyone, I sat in your office many a time wondering, you know, applying to residency and that whole process. I think I explored all over the nation, especially through Couples Match. We had to do, with a Couples Match, you do more interviews than the traditional residency applicant because you're trying to find a city or program that will match both you and the other medical graduate. So for us, having explored all over, I think we knew what we had here at home was so special. For me in pediatrics, I think we have such a great faculty, such a great mixture of different kinds of pathology, both the rarest of the rare in pediatrics and the bread and butter. And it's just, it was home, not even because our families are nearby, but just the bonds that we had made, the patients that are here, the population that we serve. I think it was just so apparent to us everywhere we went, when we came back, I just remember looking at each other and being like, but it's not UM Jackson, you know, and that was ultimately why we decided to stay.
Fantastic. What about you, Josh?
I think I had some personal and then some professional reasons for wanting to stay. I think for professionally wise, I mean, this is a patient population that, you know, as you mentioned, you know, we love to treat. There's so much diversity here. You have people from all around the world, Hispanic patients, Haitian Creole patients, and then also just patients from everywhere else. So I think that was really important to me. Plus, you know, the hospital system here, it's a massive hospital system. The amount of pathology we see, surgeries, diseases, you know, you don't really see anywhere else in the world. And during medical school, we see this a lot. And you kind of you know, get an understanding that this place is really where you're going to see everything you need to learn, you know, in your chosen field. Yeah. And then personally, my now wife, then girlfriend, was a fourth year medical student, or was going to be a fourth year medical student when I was starting residency. And so certainly being close to her was an important decision that I felt I had to make.
I feel like she thinks you should have led with that.
I know. Then stuff first. Professional, then personal.
We'll let that slide.
Talk to her about that.
And obviously you both were super successful in medical school to get into these competitive residencies. And then within your residencies now, Sarah as a chief doing an extra year. And of course, Josh is chief here in surgery, have also been leaders. So as we talk about how you guys were leaders in medical school and leaders now in residency and thereafter, one of the common threads that binds the two of you is you both ran a very big part of this medical school as a student organization, which is the Mitchell Wolfson Senior Department of Community Service, or DOCS, the acronym DOCS. So for those folks that don't know a lot about DOCS, if they didn't go to school here or are intimately involved with the institution, you know, it's one of the most, it's probably the most well-known student organization on campus. And you guys and students that have preceded and followed you see a few thousand patients a year in health fairs and clinics doing a lot of primary care, subspecialty care, preventive care for those that are medically either underinsured or uninsured and unable to access the traditional things that most people do. So just in the backdrop of what that is and what DOCS does and on the backs of you guys and many others that came before you, DOCS has won national awards for the work that they've done. Tell me, maybe starting, Josh, with you, like what got you interested in that program originally? You obviously, but for both of you, by the time you were fourth years, you ran the whole program, which is a really all-encompassing program within the med school. But what got you started early in medical school about that, about the interest in DOCS?
Yeah, so I think my first year here, I think it was a lot of mentorship, talking to, you know, senior medical students and also the faculty, and they get you really excited. You know, they tell you about this program where you get to learn and work alongside your colleagues, like work alongside physicians, and then get to help these underserved patients, you know, in the different healthcare settings and clinics. And so I basically just signed up, started volunteering, and then really fell in love with the program itself. You know, you go to each different community, they all have different needs, different wants, different things that they really ask of the university. And then also we get a chance to, you know, be leaders and actually, you know, help learn and develop our leadership skills. So I think it helps us as students, but it also really helps the community. And so it was really just very exciting to be part of and kind of grow through the program, I think.
Yeah.
You as well.
I got hooked. I remember my first health fair, I did what was then called the registration station as a first year. Now it's the initial health assessment. And I just, it was such a moving experience. I think you, as a first year medical student, you are very much, at least back in our legacy curriculum, very much in the books, in the anatomy lab, trying to understand what you just got yourself into. I feel like DOCS grounded me so much as a first year medical student. And just I remember sitting on the stage of the old Hialeah Health Fair, and it was hot. And I just remember, like, speaking to patient after patient and just the gratitude. I think it was so warming, and I think it just gave me the sense of, like, okay, this is why, you know, we're here, and this is why we are doing medical school in the first place. And like I said, I just got hooked. I went to every health fair that year, all for registration, and then I became the station manager, and it was the rest from there. But I think it really, for me, it was a huge opportunity to give back to our community and to find, kind of as a aspiring or learning physician, to be what was the kind of work I wanted to be involved in and who were the kind of people I wanted to be around.
And you mentioned a couple of different health fairs, and we have health fairs and clinics throughout South Florida. And so, for example, the Hialeah Health Fair, which we don't have in specific Hialeah anymore, was a largely Hispanic population. The one that's down in South Dade and Homestead was a lot of people, for example, that work that work on farms, and you have other communities in Liberty City or in the Keys. And so we see a lot of these different communities, many of whom are filled with people that are medically underserved and not able to kind of access the traditional care. And so I guess what's interesting, so we talk a lot in medical school, and you guys all learned about this this kind of phrase, the social determinants of health, right? And how much social determinants, not just your medical or genetic background, can drive your outcomes in health. So I'm curious from your perspectives, from what you learned in medical school, and of course you get to live the experience at UM and the VA and Jackson, how did this program kind of complement or help you further kind of understand what social determinants of health are and how they kind of impact real people?
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we always talk about medical school, you know, genetic predispositions to diseases, but it's really so much more. And, you know, a lot of these underserved communities, they have a lot of the same issues that they deal with, and they need a lot of, you know, the same services. And so I think being part of the DOCS program and sort of understanding that each community is going to be a little bit different. And I think we have all kind of done that, where you go into the community, you talk to the community leaders, the community stockholders, and also like the patients themselves that they're serving, and kind of see like what problems they're experiencing, what challenges, you know. Okay, so you have, you know, a diagnosis of cancer. Well, someone in a different community has the same diagnosis, but, you know, you can't maybe get to your appointments, or you have childcare responsibilities, or you don't have, you know, other things that you would need that some other patients in different, you know, different zip codes, you know, two towns away might have, and, you know, and have a different time with the, you know, with their treatment. So I think just understanding that is kind of helped me, you know, at least understand the barriers that a lot of our patients face when accessing the healthcare system and getting their treatments.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, so DOCS is primarily focused on adult health and adult screening, preventative services and clinics. At least it was when I was involved. And even when I transitioned into pediatrics, just like Josh is saying, there's so much that DOCS gives you perspective on in terms of the holistic approach to the patient, and understanding that what we may think we're prescribing, or what we may think we're counseling them to do, how feasible and how realistic is this with a patient or a family that has XYZ social determinants that are ongoing in their context. So I think it really helped for me in terms of advocacy and my approach to patient care, trying to make sure that I'm addressing all of the possible barriers that could impact my patient's health. And honestly, often the family unit, I've referred patients through like the knowledge that I have with DOCS for J-cards for their parents if they're uninsured, or getting them connected through the UM Jackson system for them to be able to get the care they need to help my patient, which is their child. So I think it was, I can't say enough, I think it was really helpful in terms of advocacy and our patient population.
And so, listen, I think it would probably be a lot easier and cheaper if we just had all these patients come to our center every month. We can have a health fair. So tell me a little bit about how important is it to go to where the people are, right? Like serving the people where they live, and not just having this like medical mecca where everyone has to come to you. How important was that? You have health fairs throughout South Florida, throughout South Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, a lot of it also has to do with trust, you know, with getting to know the community, getting the community to know that you are someone who is here to help them in their space, coming to them with the services that you can provide, and then following up with them and making sure that if you did screen high risk for something, we're going to help you through that. We're going to get you, because transportation is a barrier. Getting to Jackson, as wonderful, and UM as wonderful as both are, it can be a barrier for people who have to take 3 buses just to come to one of our appointments, right? So reaching the community where they're at, speaking to their leaders and speaking to their, you know, community representatives to see, well, what is it that you think your community needs, and how can we as DOCS help provide that? I think that was so important, because it's not life as told by us, and this is what I think you need. But also, I remember there was a health fair, they were like, well, I think it was Liberty City that year, they wanted toys for the children because it was near Christmas time, and that was part of what they determined would be helpful for their population, is to help these families get the toys for their kids. And that kind of stuff, you only learn that by going out into the community, speaking to the leaders and meeting them where they are, I think.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And sometimes, as you mentioned, it's not feasible for these patients to travel, you know, all the way to Jackson and University of Miami Hospital. And so, you know, sometimes we even just will find local clinics in the area that will partner with us, that we can, you know, see the patient, diagnose a certain condition, and then hook them up with a provider in that area. I mean, obviously we love to bring them back to us, but, you know, we have to do what's best for the patient and their families, you know.
Yeah.
Patients will come to the health fairs with all their kids, and, you know, it becomes like a full day event, and we can get them pediatric care, we can get their parents care, we have vaccinations, and kind of do a whole screening and medical treatment in their area, where they can trust us and get to know us a little bit better.
Yeah, I think, and you highlight on the critical aspect of patient navigation, right? To see them once a year is one piece, but get them plugged into some place locally that's meaningful for them. And you guys have heard me say this 1,000 times, right? The ultimate success of docs is when it ceases to exist,
right?
Because everyone has access to whatever they need whenever they need it, but we know that we're not anywhere close to that. So it's great to hear how much it meant to both of you in medical school. And Josh, you mentioned actually some of your research time was specifically focusing on healthcare disparities in surgical oncology patients. So maybe if you can both tell me a little bit about how, if at all, how docs, specifically the experiences, informed decisions you made about residency and your experience as a doctor early in training.
Yeah, I mean, sure. So I elected to stay here for residency, as well. And I think a big part of that was the opportunities here, at the university and Jackson, but also, the patient populations that we serve. And so I think this was a community that I felt that I understood and or maybe didn't understand, but understood that we didn't understand them. And so you really need to, work with them and be with them and help them and guide them. And so, I think it's been a great and valuable experience. As you mentioned, I did 2 years of research that did a lot of clinical outcomes and healthcare disparities. And so understanding the barriers to care, trying to help overcome these barriers, it's one thing to identify them. A lot of people are concerned with identifying them, but now we need to try and overcome them. And I think Sylvester's doing a lot of work with that, going out into the communities, doing community outreach. And so I think throughout residency, I think this has been very important to be here in the same community that we served as docs, during docs, to kind of understand and continue to work with the same patients.
That's great. So you both alluded to this a little bit, and I want to dive in for a second. You both talked about your now spouses, who you both met in medical school. So tell me a little bit about, trying to balance. Now you're both married to physicians who are also on campus in different capacities. So tell me a little bit about how it is to balance that two physician household work life balance and how that kind of has affected maybe some of the decisions that you've made.
Yeah, it can be challenging. I think that especially in medical school and residency, where you are pushed to some intense hours, whether it's studying or working, at least for us, it was nice to have that common thread of, well, I understand what you're going through and you understand what I'm going through, even though he's internal medicine, which we all know is far less cool than pediatrics.
Hey, we'll let that slide too.
but it's still the same kind of hustle, if you will, the understanding of the schedules, the flexibility. I think that having someone who understood what we were going through in real time, for me, it was really important. And there was definitely rotations where it's like, okay, I'll see you next month, kind of thing. But that's just part of both of our passion. And Kyle was also very involved in docs. And I know that he also chose to stay and stays passionate about his patient populations as well. So I think having that kind of ability to come together at home to talk about mutual interests in terms of work, but then also just understanding, I'm too tired right now and I don't want to talk about anything related to medicine anymore today, has been really nice. And I know Josh's wife too.
So my wife Rachel is a pediatric hematology and oncology fellow. So again, pediatric shout out. You're right. It's tough, but it also has some positives as well. So if my phone's not ringing in the middle of the night, her phone will be ringing. Someone's always on call. But at the same time, we both understand that, what it means to be on call, what it means to be responsible for your patients. You feel a connection where someone who's maybe not in medicine may not really fully understand that. And, why are you not paying attention to me? Why are you on the phone? I think it helps to have someone who understands, that, yes, the relationship is important, but patients also matter too, and we have to take care of them. So,
I wonder, reflecting on this, maybe we can advertise ourselves not only as a medical school, but also as a matchmaking.
Yes.
So maybe jack up tuition a little bit and say we're also going to help you find your spouse.
I see a research project there.
Yes, somewhere. Absolutely.
Successful marriages. Yeah.
So just kind of wrapping up, as you reflect back on your time now, 7 years or four, or 7 years and 4 years to come, 3 and 6 years, I guess, currently, in residency plus the 4 years of medical school, in your time here on this campus at UM and then your residencies at Jackson and UM, if someone said, how is that kind of, what is the kind of indelible single mark that you think of something that really is left on you, as you kind of reflect back on this past decade or so of life and how it's going to impact your decisions moving forward as a physician?
That's a deep question.
It's a deep question. And you have 30 seconds each.
Perfect.
No pressure.
I would just say, I think we've said it, already, but I think understanding the patient population here and kind of falling in love with the community of South Florida here, I think is kind of left an indelible mark on me. And I think through medical school, through docs, through residency, I think just working with these patients, working with patients that can't advocate for themselves, that can't help themselves, I think has been a very like interesting perspective. I mean, because you work at some hospitals maybe and they have, you know, patient navigators and everything's perfect and everything's all set up for the patient, and then you work at other hospitals and they need a lot more assistance. So I think just understanding, you know, wherever the next steps are, that some patients have other barriers, some patients don't have these barriers, and we have to kind of treat each patient individually and understand their, you know, what they need.
I agree. I'd like to echo. My gosh, I think, you know, I mean, I truly do agree. I think that what we learned here is invaluable and something that shaped not only who I am as a physician, but as a human and as someone who sees patients every day. I think that what you learn through docs, through UM, is something that really shapes you. And I think that for me, it was something that affirmed what I was doing and why I went into this field in the first place, and that sense of giving back and just personal fulfillment from helping others. I think that docs and UM were what set that up.
So, closing thought, of course, there's a lot in society now that is going well, and a lot of things that are kind of not so well, not going so well. And so someone that's young, that's interested in pursuing a career in medicine, there are a lot of barriers now that maybe people in prior generations didn't have, or maybe just different barriers that may make it less appealing than it was perhaps in years past. So for that person just trying to really kind of say, I think I want to do medicine and practice medicine, but I'm not really sure in this current environment, what advice would you give to them about this potentially future aspiring medical student and physician?
It's another deep question.
Yeah. I think for me, to totally cut you off,
no, go for it.
I would say try to entrench yourself in experiences that will kind of replicate what the future will hold. Because I think what people might think medicine is, or what it has changed to become, or even if your parents were physicians, things have changed. And I think that you have to really make sure that you're doing this for the right reasons, for the patients, for your own fulfillment in terms of what this profession means to you and what opportunities you can give back to this profession, because it is hard. There's no one who will tell you that becoming or being a doctor is not hard, but it's very fulfilling and it's very amazing, I guess is the way to say it. And it's hard, you know? So you have to really dig deep, get your feet wet, and see what is it about this that applies to me specifically or that I want to give back, because there's a lot of ways to help people and being a doctor is one of those ways that I personally chose, but you have to just make sure that's the right decision for you.
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, it's really a privilege to practice medicine, you know, gastroenterology, surgery, pediatrics. I mean, we impact people's lives in ways that other professions don't have the opportunity to do. So I think it's a really special profession. I agree. I think if you're going to pursue this, I think, you know, good luck, and you should definitely try and pursue this. Immerse yourself in these experiences to really understand that you really want to be a physician, that you really want to be a doctor. And there's so many different fields, right? Like, we have this idea of medicine maybe on the outside, but then you go to medical school, there's 60 different specialties. So if you really like taking care of patients, if you really like working with patients and their families and kind of impacting people's lives, there's something you're going to find that you're going to be passionate about within one of the fields that we have, you know, especially here at Jackson University of Miami as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. It was a nice trip down memory lane for me, having known both of you from the time you guys started medical school throughout your medical school and residency time. So we really appreciate you taking the time for our first episode that we really focused on trainees, and look forward to seeing all your success in the future. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Take two.
Oh my god. Let's run it from the top. No, I'm just kidding.